kids are free to go to children's church or wait in the back for their teachers for children's church. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even a dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. 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 Maybe seated. What I want to share with you, what I feel the Lord lead me to share with you today, is going to be from Philippians chapter 2. It's not going to be on PowerPoint. So if you have your Bibles, and which I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church all the time anyway. Chapter 2, beginning verse 12. It's Philippians 2, beginning verse 12. This morning, when I was just going through my Facebook just to see some things, I ran into a post from somebody who some of us are mutual friends with on Facebook, so I'm not going to mention who it is, that kind of disturbed me, and it disturbed me in a different way. Here's what this post said, because this person looked like just reposted this. Better to be an open sinner than a false saint. Better to be an open sinner than a false saint. And that's so disturbing to me on so many levels. That it's okay to be, that you're better off just being an open sinner than a false saint, that somebody who's trying to do the right thing but is really making mistakes and is struggling with that. So I don't obviously agree with that statement at all, because I'm from the belief that, you know, there are some who will be hypocritical, and guess what? That includes me. Because we are not perfect, okay? We will be hypocritical at times because we're human. And part of the thing that I always say is emotions are the biggest deceiver or liar, because our emotions make us feel, think, act certain ways that we wouldn't normally when we are focused on the right things. And that leads us in different areas. And why I share that with you is I want to just read this from Philippians 2, beginning verse 12. This is Paul writing to the brethren in the church in Philippi. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So this first part he's saying to them, not only were you walking with the Lord the right way, not only were you doing things the right way to honor God when I was there, your spiritual daddy, your spiritual father, but everything I've heard about you from after I was gone says that you stayed the course. You continued doing things the right way. You continued to stay focused. And then work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work out how Jesus becomes Lord in every area of your life in reverence and careful step. Because that's the process, guys. It's one thing to accept Christ as our Savior. The second step is to grow in learning how to make Him Lord of this area of my life, Lord of that area of my life. I give you control of this area of life. When we were singing, "Give Me Jesus," you are the hope that I find my security in. Okay? You're the one that where I can grab onto my security. See, what that says is, when I am worried about finances, I'm going to hold on to you because I am making you Lord over my finances. When I'm worried about relationships, friendships, sons, daughters, wives, husbands, home life, I'm going to hold on to you because I am making you Lord over these areas. I'm putting you right at the forefront. Just like he is enthroned on our worship, guess what? When I enthrone him in those areas, I find security in this area because I'm no longer trying to fix this area. I'm letting him do the work and trusting him to work in it. I'm giving it to you, God, 100%. I work out my salvation the way I learn to make you Lord of each area of my life in humility, in reverent awe, because that's what fear in the Bible means, reverent awe of who you are, God, that you are so great, that you are so awesome, that you are so powerful, that you can do anything at any time, in any way, in any situation, that there's nothing that can come against you that you can't overcome and take care of. Nothing. As I said, I'll share more about India next week in extreme detail and with some pictures. But one of the things that God so highlighted to me in India, my authority that comes from him by making him Lord in the specific area has absolutely nothing to do with how loud I am, how boisterous I am, how eloquent my speech is. It has everything to do with knowing who he is in this. We were at a church where there was a lot of demonic manifestation, and I saw people screaming at these demon-possessed people who were just manifesting in weird ways, and nothing was happening. And you know what the Lord said? My authority is in you. So just simply look at him and go, shut up in the name of Jesus. Be quiet in the name of Jesus. And they stop. Why? Because he's teaching me. This was the first time to this extent. He's teaching me to make him Lord in this area. He's teaching me still how to make him Lord in my family, in my own home. He's teaching me how to make him Lord, work out my salvation, my lordship of him in this church. It's a growing process. It's not let me be perfect and we're done. We are being perfected in these areas day in, day out, as we keep him on the throne, as we keep him where he needs to be. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He works in you to will. He works in you what he wants to work in you. And he works in you the things he wants to work through you for his pleasure. When I submit any specific area of my life, when I say, God, I'm making you Lord here, things change. And I don't mean to put anyone on the spot real quick, but Mark, can you come up real quick? Lord is telling me to do this. Was not planning to do this at all, but wasn't planning to preach this either. That's how God works. Can you share with me what you shared about 3 weeks ago about when you started tithing?
All right. When I first started coming here with Madeline, and after we got married, we were listening to Pastor Mike talk, about just being faithful and trusting in the Lord in your tithing. So we just did it. We just started giving as much as we could, and it was like three to four, maybe even five times what we were given. And we never missed it. Our bills are paid. We have money. We never missed what we gave. It just showed up. And, you know, we worried. We were panicking if we could pay all our bills. But somehow the money's there. And I was telling Pastor Mike that, you know, we took the leap and everything is great. We don't miss it at all. We're even thinking about giving more. So.
Thank you, Mark. But that's an example. That's only one example, amen, of making him Lord of an area in your life. And that's just one area. One area. Imagine if every area in our lives was submitted to Jesus in obedience and said, God, I'm giving you this. I'm trusting you. I'm enthroning you in this area. You are now King, Jesus. I'm no longer sitting on that place of leadership. You are. Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and disputing. That you may, this is the important one, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, this is the key here. Do it without complaining, without whining, without disputing, without throwing tantrums, without denying him, without rebelling against him. Because, see, when we complain and do these things, we open the door for a spirit of rebellion, a rebellious spirit. And God's word says a rebellious spirit is like witchcraft. And what that means is witchcraft is a spirit that goes against the Holy Spirit. It's not a godly spirit. So who am I going to make Lord in this area? A demonic spirit or a godly spirit? My rebellious heart opens the door for a demonic spirit that quenches the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. So do it with the right attitude, without whining, without complaining, without disputing. Why? Why? So nobody can say you're not trying to do the best you can. Some might still call you a hypocrite. They might still call me a hypocrite. But you know what? At least it's not going to be the way it was if I wasn't doing it that way. Because when I am doing it with joy, with obedience, when I am trusting, when I am relying on him to fix things and not me, I become blameless in the eyes of the world. When it's not me, it's him. It's because, see, he's perfect. I'm the one that makes the mistakes. I'm the one that makes the poor decisions. He's the one who fixes my mistakes and cleans up the mess I've made. And the beautiful thing is, when we do it his way with the right heart, the right attitude, without complaining and disputing, we're going to be harmless. Why? Because we're not going to turn people away from God. See, the biggest problem that keeps people from accepting Christ and keeping them from being Christian are the Christians. That's the biggest problem. Because everywhere the world looks, they see way too many hypocrites. They see way too many people arguing among themselves, doing things they shouldn't be doing, acting in ways they shouldn't, and missing out on love. We have one job, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. So what that means is love the person in front of you. That's it. That's what we have. Love the person in front of you. I saw something again this morning. A Christian from another church who's very, very, and again, I'm getting into politics. I don't care what your political side is. It does not matter. Because it can go other way depending on whoever's in office. But this person very much does not like the current president. And is always posting negative things. And it just makes me shake my head going, you're putting him down instead of praying for him. I was not crazy about the last president, but I prayed for him. And then this person makes a statement, if you don't like what I say, you can just unfriend me or skip whatever. But that's not the right attitude. Not the right attitude, because it has to be about doing things God's way. How does what my actions, how do my words create purity in my life that's true in the eyes of God, but reflected in the eyes of man? What I do, what I say, how I am, needs to be pure of heart according to God's standard, and let that reflect off of God onto people's hearts so what they see is Him in me. This way, I become blameless and harmless. I advance the kingdom, not hurt the kingdom. That's our job. Is to reflect that love. And Paul continues, because among you shine, you shine among them as lights in this world. Too many of us are walking around as a black light instead of a bright, you know, I've got this real tiny little black flashlight about this big, but we call it the light of God in our house. Because this thing is like military grade. When you turn it on, it'll blind you when you look straight into it. So we call it the light of God. That's what we need to be. We don't have to be this like massive 2-foot light thing that cops hold and all that. Just need a little light, but you got a powerful shine. Turn on that shine and let it break through. Let it break through. Holding fast, this is verse 16, holding fast the word of life. Who's the word of life? Jesus. Staying close to Jesus. Staying close to His heart. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. He's saying, you know what? All the sacrifices I've made, everything that I've been able to pour out, everything that I endured, I went through. Because if you read about Paul's missionary journeys, they weren't easy. They were not easy at all. And one of his mates, if you read this chapter, if you keep going, almost died. But he's saying, you know what? It was worth it to hear how you have allowed God to move in your life. And I would do it again and again. It is worth it. I will pour it out. I am glad and rejoice with you all that this is happening. Because I love what I'm hearing. I love what I'm hearing, how God is moving powerfully in each one of you. But it was your choice to do that. It was your choice to make a bold statement, to be obedient, to do the hard work without complaining or disputing or rebelling, but moving as God called you to move. Do as God called you to do. You be the sacrifice in your own home. You be the first to say, I'm sorry when you've wronged. You be the first to clean the mess when there's a mess made, even if it wasn't yours. That's why I love in his word in Matthew 5, where he says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the ones who keep the peace, but the ones who stick their noses in God's love, in his strength, because it's only in his strength, his peace breaks through to create peace. And that peace, and this is the thing that as I studied that a little bit, that peace that he's talking about is not just can we all get along, it's reconciliation of heaven with man. That's what the Greek definition of that peace is, reconciliation, that we are doing it right with God, that we are right in right standing with the heart of God, what he's established in heaven. So blessed are those who go in and bring heaven to earth and create that atmosphere. That was our theme in India, that wherever we went, because when you see and hear what I'm going to show you, we went in some of the darkest places I know I've ever been in. And our theme was, and I kept saying that to our team over and over again, we're changing the atmosphere. As we prayed, Lord, we're going in to change the atmosphere. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Darkness cannot withstand this. We are changing the atmosphere. And wherever we went, the atmosphere was changed. It was amazing. But that's our heart. That's what God has for us to do. But it goes back to our choice of saying, Lord, I make you, Jesus, Lord here. I give this area of my life to you. I submit my finances. I commit them to you. I submit my household, the way we live our lives in my home, to you. I submit myself, my attitude, my way of thinking to you, and choose to renew my mind with your word. That's how I make you Lord over my mind, Jesus. I renew my mind with your word. I submit my wants, the things that I want so badly more than anything else in life, I submit them to you, and I make you Lord over them. Because your word says to delight myself in you, and then you will give me the desires of my heart. And how that works is, when I delight myself in you, your desires fill my heart. And your desires are the ones that are going to come through. I make you Lord in this area. I give it to you, Jesus. I give it to you, Jesus. It's yours, Jesus. I'm trusting you, Jesus. Kind of really feel very simply this morning to go into time right now. And Bobby, can you just come and just play your guitar, pick your guitar a little bit? Each one of us, maybe even as a family, we have areas in our lives, things going on that are so big or so important to us, yet we've neglected to give them over to Jesus, to make Jesus Lord in this area. I know as we prayed this morning over Bobby and Maureen, as our beloved Tori went on our journey, we just declared that Jesus is Lord over this journey. That he sits on the throne. I feel like right now, let's just go back into a little quiet time with the Lord, each one of us in their prayer closet. And just Be real with God right now. What is it in you? What is it you need to just say, Jesus, I got to make you Lord. And just simply say, Jesus, help me to make you Lord in this area right now. Help me. Because none of us have the capacity to do it without him. Just, Holy Spirit, come right now. Just minister to every heart. Speak to every heart right now, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.